This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Hour Numero Dos, hour number two here on Radio Law Talk. I'm Todd Kunin, filling in for Fred Penny. I get to sit in the big chair, which, you know what, is almost identical to the chair I sit with over on the left. And I don't know, I think mine's a little more comfortable. I didn't pull that one around. Fred's on assignment. To the right here, Denise Dirks. You ready to go for hour number two there, Denise?
I'm ready.
All right. She's got the seatbelt on. She's rearing up. She's putting the black paint underneath the eyes like the football players
do.
She's chalking her hands like she doesn't even know what sport we're playing. It's either football, pool, or baseball.
And what he doesn't see is the whip in my back pocket.
No, I saw
it. Oh, he saw
ready
it.
To take out that whip.
He saw it. I saw the whip. behind the glass, Cal Hunter, how you doing?
Fine. When you say the big chair, it's not like those double wide chairs in medical offices, you know, that are just like a regular chair but twice as wide to handle folks who have ample girth.
No, not like one of those. Not like one of those. Certainly not like the Game of Thrones Iron Throne or anything like that.
We gotta get one of those.
Made out of a thousand swords of your defeated enemies, or so the. So the legend was supposed to have gone.
Or by a very good set designer.
One of the two, yes. So here we are. Last hour we did our case and no case, then spent a lot of time talking about the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. In fact, that's what we talked about almost exclusively. And if you want to catch that, you missed that, we're moving on to other topics here for the remainder of the show. But if you want to catch that, our podcast, which is essentially the show we have here, put up on RadioLawTalk.com or on almost every venue where you can find podcasts, just look for Radio Law Talk. And that should be up when, Denise? By about next Monday?
Yeah, you know what? It just depends. Sometimes it starts on Sunday. Sometimes it's Sunday night, sometimes it's Monday morning, but it's usually in that time frame.
How do you know Denise is a lawyer? Because
depends.
She says, it depends.
It depends on if the webmaster is in an ambitious mood or if the show producer gets the files to him on time. All of those things are variable.
Yes. There was a Call of Duty tournament going on this exactly. weekend. I didn't get to upload it till Monday.
But he always knows it's going to be recorded, so he doesn't worry about missing the show.
No, not at all. So that's where you can catch the discussion on Kyle Rittenhouse and the verdict there. And obviously, we'll keep our finger on the pulse of further developments, you know, what happens down the road. I mean, look, once a criminal case is over with, then you got to deal with potential federal suit, which you talked about, federal criminal prosecution, which you talked about, and then the civil case.
Civil liability.
Yes. And so we'll see how things go forward there. We also had a case or no case, and I'm still one point away from not having to treat my co-hosts to dinner on my own dime. If I win, then all three of us are entitled to a meal, so it's Dutch. But Cal, you got another one for us?
I do, and here we go.
Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Yay!
You know, although some states are cheaper than ours in California, nobody likes to pay automobile registration fees. One way around that is for some people to cobble up temporary car tags that indicate the vehicle's newly purchased, and then they keep putting new fake ones on every couple of months to try to, you know, to fool the gendarme. So I take you now to Texas, where Travis Justice Bodine had a job working as a Texas Department of Motor Vehicles and a side hustle, ginning up temporary tags for very few people who were in the know. Travis would work his window in Austin, Texas, and somebody, Houston, did I say Austin? Houston, Texas, and somebody would provide his counterfeit tags always for under the table cash, paid in the parking lot. That's how it went, until Lamar Andrus came in and got his fake tags, which he would get every 3 months, and he got pulled over anyway. Police ran the tags and realized something was askance, and Lamar spilled the beans. But the story doesn't end there. Lamar said Travis didn't keep his end of the agreement because he provided substandard counterfeits, and he asked his lawyer, if he could go to small claims court to try and recover his payment to Travis and the hundreds of dollars in fines and fees and penalties he had to pay to the DMV. He was upset.
Okay. So does he have a cause of action against the guy who sold him the fake tags? Hey, the breach is, your fake tags caused me to get prosecuted for violating the law. You told me I wasn't going to have that.
Well, that's the question, and I'd like to know what Denise thinks about this whole Radio Law Talk scenario.
Well, maybe some people don't know this, but this is true. You cannot enforce a contract that is void as against public policy. And this would be one of those types of contracts because it is an illegal counterfeiting scheme. And there is no court that's going to enforce that illegal counterfeiting scheme in any way, shape, or form, even by breach of contract, which would be what he would have to sue for.
Mm.
Or he could sue for, providing illegal tags. However, he knowingly was involved in that scheme, and so he would have unclean hands come into the court, and he would not get relief from the court. So this is not a case.
All right, that's fair enough.
Not a case. Denise, how many points do you have?
Just hit the magical 4-0.
Okay.
And Fred has 44,
and I have 49.
You have 49. Can we put some? We didn't put anything to risk.
We were going to do the double or whatever, but we didn't do that.
We'll do that next hour.
Okay.
If he should win this hour, he can go below that next hour if he doesn't get it right.
So we'll play through the end of the day.
Okay. So.
And then what do you get? You need to get more points.
That's okay. It's not in the system. I would think if I fooled one of you, I should get a half a point for every one of you I fool. That's what I think.
Think you should get 1 point.
Okay. Cal, you're the one who created case or no case, way back in the day. So. I think you get to set the rules. Look, Denise, you said no case, right?
Correct.
No case because the defendant would have unclean hands because you can't have a breach of contract if the contract is for an underlying illegality anyway. And I agree with you, Denise, in that analysis, and that's why I say it is a case, and that's why it was dismissed and he loses. So I say that this is a case, but because of the same analysis that Denise put out, that's why he did not prevail, and a judge somehow tossed it.
And that was great analysis, Todd. And Denise, likewise, great analysis for you. So the bottom line here is somebody is going to once again be
unhappy.
And the person who's going to be unhappy, ladies and gentlemen, is Todd Kuhn.
Unhappy.
And for Denise Dirks, yay. Next time, we're going to talk about bottled water and floating little bitlets of plastic.
Can you just play the unhappy thing for me now just to get it over with?
Unhappy.
There you go. I'm glad to. Anytime.
All right, folks, we got about a minute left before we, a little more than a minute left before we hit our quarter hour break after the starting of the second hour. Go ahead, follow that one. A train leaves Texas traveling. That's what that thing sounded like. We got some things we're going to talk about. The InfoWars defamation/libel, you like the way I did that, lawsuit against the InfoWars host Alex Jones. We're going to talk about an interesting development in that case and a rare ruling that the court made. John Gruden suing the NFL, and I think he may have a leg to stand on. And Kobe Bryant's widow, well, she won on a similar issue previously, and now she's going to have to do something that she doesn't really want to do, per her lawyers. We'll tell you what that is. The court says she's got to turn something over, and, we'll talk about that. So you're listening to Radio Law Talk in your favorite radio station. Catch us on RadioLawTalk.com, and we'll be back after these messages.
John Gruden's penalty flag at the NFL, and after further review, we'll find out about that coming up. Stay tuned. There's much more Radio Law Talk right here on your radio or your listening device, wherever you're hearing us. We're glad and we appreciate you. Stay tuned.
All that. advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com. If you're one of those independent people who wants your own business and you love food service, we just might have a great opportunity for you. Iceberg Drive-Ins. Iceberg is famous for its thick shakes and delicious food. We lend you our supply chain and expertise, and you can potentially have a thriving, successful, fun business that your customers will love. Iceberg Drive-Ins has some prime areas available right now, so if you're interested, get in touch with us right away. Go to icebergdrivein.com and click on the Contact Us button. Iceberg Drive-In. Ready to grow with you.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
Jason Ross back here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or give them a call, 1-800-616-4LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about a dollar to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed."
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. "Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better, and it lowered my blood pressure, and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
You are a loser. Oh, come on.
Radio Law Talk. Now back to the show.
John Gruden, in the middle of his second stint as the coach of the Raiders, started when they were in Oakland way back in the day. What was his history, Cal? He was with the Raiders, then he left the Raiders and went to Tampa Bay where he won a Super Bowl.
He took them to the NFC Championship at the famous Tom Brady Tuck game.
That's right.
Right, and then he went that next year to Tampa Bay, got Raiders in the Snooper Bowl, and knew how to, because he coached him, he knew the personnel very, very well. So can you hear me? Yeah. Knew the personnel really well and beat them with Tampa Bay. And that was it. And the Raiders were enamored with him ever since because he was the only living coach they had or one that able to coach that took them to a championship. So they wanted to get him back.
So he was with the Raiders.
Yep.
Then he doesn't win a Super Bowl with the Raiders.
Nope. Takes him to the AFC Championship.
That's right. Game. Leaves the Raiders, goes to Tampa Bay.
Right.
Tampa Bay plays the Raiders in the Super Bowl. And he beats the Raiders.
Yep.
Love it. And then he went to ESPN.
Yes.
Now, that's where it, and then later came back to coach for the Raiders again, this would have been his fourth year of a 10-year contract.
Well, he ran a quarterback academy and did some other things along with his Monday night analysis, but it was when he was playing Monday night analysis that things happened that apparently got him in a little trouble.
That's right. So apparently he was sending emails back and forth to, the owner, I think it was Allen, of the Washington football team, now known as the Washington football team.
Who used to work for him in Oakland, by the way.
Yes. And so he's sending emails, and nobody knew about these emails at all. Nothing at all about these emails. And then, back in early 2020, as a result of an article it was either the New York Post or the Washington Post, but it was essentially, would make sense if it was the Washington Post since it's the Washington football team, essentially talking about alleged harassment taking place within the Washington football team organization. And as a result of that, the Washington football team immediately started their internal investigation to workplace harassment. Shortly thereafter, the NFL took over that investigation, but the Washington football team continued with their investigators. So you had parallel investigations going. Long and short of it is, around summer of this year, the NFL imposed a pretty hefty fine for violations they had found against the Washington football team. And shortly thereafter, there were emails that came out as part of the investigation that were leaked to the public, and the emails were between John Gruden and the then Allen with the Washington
general manager
with the Washington football team. And without going into detail, we'll just say these
Bruce Allen,
and these emails are described as being, quote, racist, misogynistic, homophobic comments.
Otherwise unflattering.
Yes. And
showing poor character, perhaps.
Yeah, well, at least for that moment, certainly, yes. Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, John Gruden, after into this season, stepped down as the head coach of the Washington Raiders, of the Las Vegas Raiders, and has now filed a lawsuit against the NFL.
Wait, were any other emails released? The ones between the Washington Redskins where all of this big fine came out?
680,000 emails, and the NFL says those were the only ones that they found offensive. Which, I don't know.
How can they charge a fine against the Washington team and not find that any of the emails that their team had done were wrong, right? It just doesn't make any sense.
You wonder,
So here we have Gruden is filing a lawsuit because he is alleging that the NFL was the entity that leaked the emails, the selected emails, and his allegation in his lawsuit is they did that to undermine his career and interfere with his contract. He had a 10-year, $100 million contract. He was in year four. And to get him out of the NFL. Oh, by the way, these emails were not sent while he was employed by the NFL. They were sent when he was an employee of ESPN.
He was not going to hire him back, but that's okay. That's a done deal. Right.
And so he is filing it. And he claims that the NFL was the source of the leak. Remember, there were two competing investigations going. You have the NFL doing their investigation, and the Washington football's own internal investigation was still going.
And that was a law firm that did that, I think, an outside law firm. Yeah.
And so this lawsuit he has filed, we're going to have to get to the bottom of this, but this is where the discovery part comes in. Discovery, not as in Columbus discovered the New World, but discovery in terms of exchange of information, requests from the defense to the plaintiff, requests from the plaintiff to the defense, back and forth to try to figure out what actually we made allegations on information and belief, and now we're going to exchange stuff to find out who did what, right, Denise?
Well, that's exactly right. And I think there's something really interesting to note. Mark Davis, the owner of Raiders, was supportive of Gruden in this lawsuit. And Mark Davis and Gruden had previously come to a settlement of their own dispute involving Gruden's 6 years that were left on his contract. So I would love to know the terms of that settlement, but I don't think we're ever going to see the light of day.
As if they paid him off straight, it'd be $60 million, but that ain't happening.
But you know what? To be honest,
perhaps
the NFL and Goodall could use that settlement to show that Gruden was not damaged, or that he was made partially whole, or as some kind of, lessering of their damages.
I think that they can use that in terms of damages as it relates to the $100 million contract for coaching. But then John Gruden's going to go back and say, well, let's just take a look at something here. I didn't want to coach at the end of that 10 years. I really wanted to go back into the booth. Look at all the money I made when I left coaching, 20 years ago or whatever, and then was in ESPN, and I had all this stuff. I was making a boatload of money as a broadcaster. What do you think my employability right now is as a broadcaster after these things were leaked?
How do I get my reputation back?
Right. Yeah. So he's not only suing for damages to reputation, but he's also suing for the disclosure of private facts, and he's also suing for interference, perhaps, with economic advantage.
And something tells me Mark Davis's dad, Al Davis, wherever he is, he has since passed on, is looking at Gruden saying, you go, I made a career, a lifetime out of suing the NFL.
And didn't Davis, Mark Davis, file a suit or prepare a suit to file against the NFL as well?
He probably did.
Yeah.
All right, we're at the bottom of our second hour. We'll be back after this. We got more to talk about. Don't go away.
We appreciate your listening to Radio Law Talk and remind you, you can do it live on your local radio station, which we appreciate, or online at RadioLawTalk.com, where we're live Pacific 9 to noon every Saturday. We'll be back.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Keep listening for an exciting offer from U.S. Med. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain and inconvenience of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar 4 or more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. We'll tell you all you need to know about CGMs. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And with insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now to learn more. 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. Plus, get free shipping and we'll bill your insurance company for you. CGMs are the newest in diabetic technology. They can help you stay in range and manage your diabetes better. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost. And delivery is free. Remember, if you're testing your blood sugar 4 or more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. Call 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. Copays and deductibles may apply. 800-251-7560. That's 800-251-7560. Sponsored by U.S. Medical Supply.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernard. U.S. bank regulator nominee Sally Omarova denied allegations of communist sympathies during a contentious Senate hearing on Thursday as her appointment looked increasingly in doubt amid skepticism from key moderate Democrats. Republican Louisiana Senator John Kennedy.
This is America. But I don't mean any disrespect. I don't know whether to call you professor or comrade.
Chuck Schumer wants the Senate to pass President Joe Biden's social spending plan before Christmas. Standing in his way is the chamber's long to-do list, its rules referee, and more likely than not, Joe Manchin. The House on Friday morning passed $1.7 trillion in new funding to expand the social safety net, sending it to the upper chamber after months of infighting. This is USA Radio News.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
I represent Low Cost Airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
I like the Amor Joseph Valley. Oh, that's down.
Time to get back to Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and on your favorite radio station.
All right, so we're gonna call this next segment, and I really wish Fred were here. We'll call this our the personal injury segment. This may go between now and through the end of this second hour, but we're gonna cover some cases. We'll start off with some that are in the middle of litigation, and then we'll go to some where the trial litigation has ended, awards have been made, and then we'll talk about appeals.
All right, give me a second. Here we go. Stand by.
Okay, we're giving you a second.
And now, the personal injury segment on Radio Law Talk. Here they are, Todd Kunin and Denise Dirks.
I feel much more official now. All right. So, have any of you heard of InfoWars? InfoWars, InfoWars and Alex Jones got a lot of conspiracy theories that he touts, and one of the ones that was probably the most controversial that I have heard alleged that he has made deals with the Sandy Hook shooting several years ago, and what some have alleged a claim on his part that it didn't really happen. I don't know the ins and outs of it. I do know that statements that he has made and attributable to him as a result of his on-air broadcasting and things that he put in writing about that incident caused him to get in hot water with the families of the victim, and he was sued for defamation, libel, slander. You throw it in there. He was sued, and they were in the middle of litigation. And remember last segment we talked about the discovery process starting with the Raiders case, and that's when sides, you know, turn over evidence. It's one party makes a request for information to the other party, and they have to turn it over, and vice versa. Well, you don't want to get cross with the judge when the judge is turning over information and you don't do it, right? And you don't do it even though the judge said, yeah, this is discoverable. You have to turn it over. What's the consequence, Denise?
Right. Well, this is kind of the process.
Yes.
You make a request in discovery. You make some kind of demand for documents or for testimony or for some other type of evidence. And then when you don't turn it over, then the person that made the demand goes to court and gets a motion to compel or to order you to produce documents or to meet that discovery demand. And then after you don't do it again, then sanctions can occur that are very serious sanctions. They can be monetary. They could be, you know, some other kind of, you know, preclusion of an issue. Or they can, the judge has the discretion to actually strike the answer or the petition and either say that the dismiss the petition or the plaintiff, the complaint altogether, or they can, the judge can strike the defendant's statements, right? Or the defendant's response. And in that particular case, in this case, the judge struck the defendant's response, and now it's proceeding by default. And what was the information that was not provided? The information that was not provided, in part, was internal company documents by Alex Jones for his company on InfoWars that showed whether and how Jones and InfoWars profited from talking about the shooting. Now, the profits would be part of the damages that plaintiffs would be getting, besides just damage to reputation or making public fact, you know, private facts public, or even just the fact that these things that were alleged were false. They have to still prove that. But now the damage issue will go before the jury, whereas the judge now has decided you're in default and the case is going to proceed now to the damage phase as if plaintiffs already proved their case. Now it's just damages.
Yeah, so essentially, normally in a case without any problems, there would be a trial in front of a jury to discuss or to try to plaintiffs try to prove that defamation or libel had actually occurred. The court's ruling has now resulted in it being deemed that it did occur, and we're just moving right to damages. Now, obviously, Alex Jones's attorneys, InfoWars attorneys, they've made a statement claiming we did comply with everything that the judge had. We disagree with the judge's ruling, and this is one of those that's probably going to be appealed before there's any trial before a jury on damages. But what we're pointing out here is it underscores the importance of adhering to court rulings in the discovery process, because if everything that the plaintiff or the defense was alleged to have not turned over is true, if that all ultimately turns out to be the case, this is a pretty stiff sanction, but one that is allowed under the law. And so that's what happens in the – that's our case in the middle of litigation, InfoWars. We're going to follow this to see how things turn out. Now we're going to shift from out there to the West Coast – and let's talk about Kobe Bryant's widow. Now, Kobe Bryant obviously died tragically in, I think it was January of last year, 2020, in a helicopter accident. All of the folks in the helicopter were deceased. And the allegation is that several emergency responders, members of the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department, were out there. And in addition to the official duties they were performing, took pictures of the deceased on their private cell phones and are alleged to have disseminated those in the press, and or not in the press, but privately to individuals. And Kobe Bryant's widow has brought a lawsuit alleging, among other things, emotional distress that she has and her family have suffered as a result of learning that the photos were disseminated. That is the allegation that is specific to this story we're going to cover right now, Denise.
Right. Well, the other the families of the other people that are deceased in that same incident, they've already settled on this one. So this is literally just going forward on Ms. Bryant's
yes.
claims and her family members' claims.
So we covered something similar to this, I want to say about a month ago. The issue a month ago, this deals with her mental health and evaluations and the status of her mental health and what the county claims, Los Angeles County claims, is the source of her emotional distress. Because originally the county went to the judge and asked the judge to order Kobe Bryant's widow, Vanessa Bryant, to undergo a mental health evaluation. The theory from the defense was, well, if you say you're suffering from emotional distress, then you need to undergo this mental health evaluation so we can somehow quantify it and find out the source and everything. Because their argument then, as now, is, no, the emotional distress you're suffering is because of the loss of your husband, not because the pictures were disseminated. Which, in my mind, look, practitioners of personal injury law probably understand the distinction. They go in, they get this as essentially a lay person when it comes to personal injury law. I look at this and I say, really? That's the argument you're going to make? You're going to tell her what is really causing her emotional distress to try to argue that, oh, you're only suffering emotional distress because it's like asking somebody to swim in the non-chlorine section of the pool. You know, it's interesting. But anyway.
I mean, can you imagine when they look at her therapy notes, you know, and the therapist, I mean, it could be recorded.
Could be.
It could be video recorded. Or it could be just handwritten notes. And those notes say, you know, Vanessa's so concerned that her family is going to see pictures of you know, her family members that are deceased. And it's very hard to console her. And, you know, I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah.
If I was Vanessa, that's exactly the type of things I'd be talking to my therapist about and trying to work through.
Absolutely. So a month ago, the judge denied the request to force Vanessa Bryant to undergo a mental health evaluation. But in a subsequent request by the county, they have said, okay, we don't get that, but we do want the court to order the plaintiffs, Vanessa Bryant, to turn over her therapist's notes from the mental health counseling that she is going through right now. Now, there's a psychotherapist-patient privilege that is in play, but the court has ordered that she has to turn that over. Now, I understand the legal ruling there. Normally, there is the patient-doctor privilege that would apply. As a plaintiff, you're the one that put that in issue. So it's similar to when four clients in a criminal defense case, they allege misconduct on the part of their attorney or ineffective assistance of counsel. Well, because they have put that in play, then some otherwise confidential communication may come out as part of the defense. But the court decided, well, you put it in play, so those have to be disclosed. We'll see where that goes. I agree with Denise. You know, if those notes are in there that bear that out, that's not going to be good for the defense. Not good at all.
Well, my question is that it's no longer under California law, there's a right to privacy. Is that just not there?
Well, it also involves the patient-client or the patient-doctor privilege,
which is
really super important and a very high privilege to make. But if you put those things at issue, meaning she has to show she has damages because of her emotional distress. Her emotional distress damages are going to be played out by how much she's paying for therapy, et cetera, et cetera.
We'll be right back. Radio Law Talk will continue.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to...
This is an important message. Do you have an IRA, 401k, or retirement account worth more than $100,000? Your portfolio may qualify for an IRS tax loophole that allows you to own physical, precious metals inside of your retirement account. Want our free report that shows you how? We are WealthProtectionResearch.com, and we help investors connect with the top precious metal companies in America to own physical gold and silver inside their retirement account using this little-known but very powerful IRS loophole. To claim your free IRS loophole report today, just text the word GOLD to 48542. WealthProtectionResearch.com wants to get this information in your hands now so that you can protect your hard-earned investments. Text GOLD to 48542 to learn more. When you text the word GOLD to 48542, we'll send you a secure link to download our IRS loophole report to show you how to start protecting your wealth with precious metals. Don't wait. Text the word GOLD to 48542 now. Wealth Protection Research. Text GOLD to 48542.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your cake. Are you serious? Oh, come on.
This is Radio Law Talk. And now, back to the show.
So back in the first hour of the show, last hour, we talked a lot about Kyle Rittenhouse. One of the things we mentioned was, okay, now that the criminal case is over, it doesn't mean that everything, all things Rittenhouse are over. You know, there's the potential for a federal case, albeit remote, and then we'll have civil cases coming in. And, you know, the list of potential defendants in a civil case would not just be limited to Kyle Rittenhouse. I mean, obviously, he'd probably be up front and center. But you know, going for deep pockets, you know, they're gonna look at the city and look at any public agencies, anybody that might have had a responsibility and whatever hoops they have to jump through to bring a lawsuit against a public agency. You know, that'll be scrutinized by all the lawyers, right?
Yes, maybe they're going to bring a suit against that car dealership that Rittenhouse was, allegedly helping to protect.
That's right. So the reason I bring this up as an example of what can happen when one person engages in an act that injures another, and then a public agency can be pulled in for liability, happened down in San Diego. Now here's the setup for it. This guy's riding his bicycle. His name's Juan Carlos Vinolo, riding his bicycle with 9 other cyclists down this road in San Diego. And a wrong-way driver, driving the wrong way on this road, under the influence of methamphetamine, no less, plowed into the group of cyclists, the 10. Several were injured, but Juan Carlos Vinolo suffered the most injury. He was paralyzed from the waist down as a result of his injuries. And obviously a lawsuit ensued, and the city of San Diego was brought in as a defendant in the lawsuit. Under the theory that the bushes were not properly maintained, it obscured visibility, there were high berms that obscured visibility that led to this accident, notwithstanding the driver was traveling the wrong way on the road and under the influence of methamphetamine. And the result of this trial is that the city, because of that lack of maintenance, was determined to be 27% responsible for the ultimate liability, and got an award from the city, and Mr. Vinolo got an award recently from the city of San Diego in the amount of $24 million that represents 27% of the liability.
Now, was this an award or a settlement?
I believe this was an award. And the reason why I say that is so you get the award, and this is what's happening here as a result of hard work by his attorneys and proving it. But 2 points on this. When it first happened, probably the only people that thought, well, the city might have some liability are the attorneys that he consulted with. But ultimately, the city was determined to be liable to a certain extent, to the tune of $24 million. But is that, Denise, when somebody is awarded this amount at the result of a trial, is that the end of it when it comes to the award?
Never.
Never. Why?
Never. Because there's appeals, and appeals can go on and on and on. And usually what happens, if there's a really good reason to appeal it, it's not going to resolve. But if there's not a good reason to appeal it, they can still appeal the decision and then settle it for a lot less because, you know, the plaintiffs just do not want to go through the time it takes and the money it takes to do appeals. They're very expensive.
Well, so it's $24 million, you know, but, I mean, if you think about it.
But they don't have money in their pocket if it's going to be appealed.
Yeah, they're in a lose-lose situation here, I would think.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think the reason, Todd, that the city got held partially liable, if my memory serves me correctly, is they knew, they had communicated somehow that those bushes needed to be trimmed.
No, it was because of the bike lane. What happened is this is a little island, and in that island, instead of having like a designated bike lane, they said they had it posted that the bicycles could use the whole lane.
Ah.
And so, you know, it could be foreseeable that if the bicycles are using the whole lane, then a car could impact the bicycle.
Especially a wrong way one where the driver's under the influence.
There you go.
That was the one that was kind of tricky.
That's it.
That was the one that was tricky for me was, I get the liability if he's hit and everybody is obeying the law, but you get somebody going the wrong way under the influence of meth. But, you know, hey, look, and the articles that we read cited you have that issue, and then you've got the issue with high berms that reduce visibility and overgrown bushes and are not able to see. And so
with multiple things.
Yes.
But the question about the methamphetamine driver, was he insured? Did he have any means of, see, there you go. So in other words.
Does he have any property? No. So did he own his own car? Maybe it was leased.
Not, yeah. But the point is that the guy would have no means of recovering damages were it not for the deep pockets theory.
Exactly. Yeah, and I'm not aware if he was uninsured or not.
I just assumed.
Yeah, speculating.
So if he was uninsured. Well, that's even worse. If he was insured, you know, that insurance company's like, oh, my.
Well, the policy limits. I mean, insurance companies have policy limits.
Yeah.
So even, it could be $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, but that's not enough to take care of a person who is paralyzed from the chest down, lost a kidney, suffered severe spinal injuries.
Wow.
You know, this is going to be, he'll be in a wheelchair the rest of his life. That's pretty severe.
For a person who was a cyclist, I mean, look, that's devastating for anybody, but you've got what my passion was, cycling. I'll never be able to do that again. But you mentioned appeals, right?
Yes.
So things can go up on appeal. And sometimes the appeals court giveth or maintaineth status quo, and the appeals court taketh away. And you might recall that there was the Monsanto case. This was the Roundup case. Was that it?
Yep.
Where Roundup the makers of Roundup at some point in time, and it eventually became Monsanto because they purchased the company from the original makers. Anyway, they were the defendant, and there was a, what was it, an $86 million award in the Monsanto case because they're ultimately able to prove that there was a link between the product and health problems to those that were around the product, and that went up on appeal. The amount of the award, probably the propriety of the verdict to begin with, but the appeals court in California has said, yeah, everything looks okay. $86 million, that's what you owe. And no issues with the trial. And so that would be an example of the appeals court giveth or keepeth the status quo. But then there's a young man in New York in a different case that has suffered the taketh away from the appeals court. Isn't that right, Denise?
That's right.
This is a young man who was in school, high school in New York, and suffered severe, permanently disfiguring burns to his face and hands and body as a result of chemicals in his chemistry class. And as a result of the jury verdict, he was awarded $60 million because of the injuries that he suffered.
He lost his face, basically, and other things.
Exactly. Yeah. And then it goes to the appellate panel. And what did the appeals court do, Denise?
They slashed the award.
Slash being the key word there. $60 million was what he got? $60 million after trial?
Yes.
What'd they do?
They cut it down to $29 million after appeal.
Cut it over in over one half. They gave him, was it, $12 million for past pain and suffering and $17 million for future struggles. And he's now 23 years old. Now, look, that $29 million is no small sum. I mean, it's interesting. That's $29 million. That's more than the cyclist who's paralyzed from the waist down got out of San Diego.
Right.
But it's still an appeals court comes in and slashes. So the long and short of it is when you sue and you get this award after trial, it ain't over. It's not over, folks. Then, you know, when I was in law school, a torts professor said, why are bananas a lawyer's favorite fruit? Because they're easy to appeal.
And you said, great, thanks for the dad joke.
Oh, yes, very. I'm going to, in 20 some odd years, I will use that on a radio show. Thank you very much, Professor Borer. That was my professor.
Perfect name.
Yes, professor of torts class.
So that was apropos.
That does it for our second hour. If you're on a radio station that does not carry the third hour, hop over to RadioLawTalk.com. Pick us up on the live feed. We'll pick you up at about 6 after the hour. Otherwise, stay tuned. We have our messages coming up, and we'll be back after this.
Stay right there. And, of course, we prefer you listen to us on terrestrial radio, but if not, RadioLawTalks.com is always available to you 24/7. We'll be back in a little bit right here.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
To stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses. Your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.